Hello, I'm Jesse Walls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church. Today, as we look together at God's Word, we'll be focusing our attention on Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 24, the final section of Ephesians and the last in our series. So you can begin looking that up now. And while you're getting that ready, I'll pray, asking God to bless us as we read and consider His Word, read the passage, and then it'll be over to Beck with the children's talk. And so, if you have children, make sure they're listening. And then it'll be back to me for the sermon. And so, let's pray. Our Father and our God, your word is truth. It is the sword of the Spirit, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. It makes us wise for salvation and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. May we hear your word, believe, and do what it says. In Jesus' name. Amen. And now, let's read Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 24. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and, as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly, to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly, as I ought to speak. So that you also may know how I am, and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers, and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. And now it's over to Beck with the children's talk.
Hello everybody, it's Beck here from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church. And I'm here today with my kids, Ellie and Kai. Say hi, guys.
Hi.
All right. Now, I want you guys to imagine that you are going into battle. There's a war on. What do you think you need to do to get ready?
Make some weapons.
Weapons. Good. Excellent. Ellie, can you stand up for me? Here is your weapon, okay? It's a sword. Actually, it's a roll of wrapping paper, but we're going to call it a weapon. Today, we're going to call it a sword. You got it? Yeah. All right. What else do we need when we're going into battle?
Shields.
Shields. That's exactly right. I've got a shield here for you. There's your shield. Got it. What else do we need when we're going into battle? Don't break it.
We need arrows.
Arrows. I don't have any arrows, but that's good. We've got one weapon, don't we? We've got our sword. That's good for attacking. What else do we need? Armor. Perfect. Excellent. I've got a breastplate here.
Over your head. Of course it fits. It's perfect. Sensational. A breastplate to keep your chest safe.
Good. Now, what else do we need? Going into battle. What else? Sorry?
Boots.
Absolutely. We need fancy boots to protect our feet. Stop them getting hurt if they get trampled on, or so that it doesn't matter if they get covered in mud and blood and guts. All right, what else do we need? What's going to protect your head?
A helmet.
A helmet. You definitely need a helmet. Oh, Ellie, that ice cream container's perfect on you. Excellent.
Do I look weird?
All right. Is there anything else you need? I've got just one more thing here. One more thing that I'm going to wrap around your waist, because we can't have your pants falling down in the middle of a battle. That'd be embarrassing, wouldn't it? So what do we put around your middle?
A belt.
A belt. That's right. We'll tie that on there. Beautiful. Ellie, you look sensational. You've got a helmet to protect your head. You've got a breastplate to protect your chest. You've got a shield to stop all the arrows coming. You've got a sword to attack the enemy. You've got a belt to stop your pants from falling down. And some shoes to protect. Ellie, can you stay here, please? Don't run away, you'll fall over with those special shoes. All right. You've got some special shoes to stop your feet from getting trampled on.
Scratchy.
They are probably not the most comfortable shoes, you're right. Tissue boxes are a bit like that. All right. Now, guys, I've got some news to tell you. We are in a battle.
Yeah.
We are in a war right now.
With sin?
With sin. That's a good guess, Ellie.
With Satan, the enemy.
With Satan, the enemy. That's right. He is our enemy. All right? And we are fighting against him and against all the evil in the world that he causes. All right? Now, Ellie, we need you to keep your armor on. Because we're in battle. You need to keep your armor on. Now, is this the sort of battle that we need armor on for?
No.
Not really? Mm-mm. No, not the sort of battle that we can see. Not armor like this that Ellie's got on now. But the Bible helps us to understand how to fight the devil by giving us some illustrations of what our armor should look like. So it's not actually stuff you can see, but it's helpful for us to understand. So the Bible says that we need to have a shield of, can you read that, Kai?
Faith.
Faith, that's right. So we're going to stick that on our shield. It says faith. Faith is the thing that protects us from getting hit by all the devil's arrows. Okay?
Oh,
faith is going to protect us. All right, we're going to have... Can you read that for me, Kai?
Salvation.
Salvation, that's right. We're going to put on our helmet of salvation. If we're saved, we can't be injured by the devil, can we?
No.
No way. We're going to keep our head safe with our helmet of salvation. All right. What's this one, Kai?
Righteousness.
Righteousness. That's right. We're going to put on our breastplate of righteousness. Just like that. Righteousness. So our heart is safe because we are made right with God. We're going to be kept safe with that. All right. What about your shoes? You've taken your shoes off. They weren't very comfortable, huh?
All right. What's he say, Kai?
Readiness.
Readiness, it says. Readiness. I'm going to stick that on your shoes. Okay. This means we need to be ready to go out and to tell people the gospel. The gospel of peace. All right. We need to be ready with that. All right. We'll go this one here. What does that say?
Truth.
Truth. This is for your belt, Ellie. Let me stick it on your belt. It's the belt of truth. The devil can't attack us if we know the truth. All right, if we keep that with us at all times, then we're not going to get sucked into believing the wrong thing. And this one is for your sword. Do you know what that is?
The word of God.
That's exactly right. Goes sure together with truth. All right. The sword of the Spirit, the word of God. All right. That's to help you battle against the devil, to attack. All right, so we need the word of God. We need the belt of truth. We need the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, and shoes fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Brilliant. All right. Now, all of these things, guys, they help us to stand firm against the devil. He's out there. He's God's enemy, and that means he's our enemy too. But with these gifts that God has given us, salvation and righteousness and truth and the word of God, we can stand firm against the devil's schemes. All right, Kai, can you grab that bit of paper there? Good. Kai, can you read this verse out to everybody?
Ephesians 6, verse 11 to 13. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of the evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm.
Beautiful. That's from the book of the Bible called Ephesians. All right. And they tell us how we can stand firm in our battle against the devil. All right. Salvation, righteousness, truth, the word of God, readiness. These are the things that keep us safe. All right, let's pray, everybody. Heavenly Father, thank you that you have won the battle against the devil and that you have given us gifts like faith and righteousness and salvation and truth so that we can battle against him too. Please protect us and help us to stand firm in this battle. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let me ask you a question you've probably never thought about before. You've had moments where you've been thinking about your future, making plans. You thought about whether to marry your husband or wife. You thought about where you'd work, whether to change jobs, where to live. And as you were thinking about those decisions, making a plan for your immediate future, for your life, you might have wondered what God's plans were for you. But here's a question you probably haven't asked yourself. What are Satan's plans for your life? Thinking about God's plan for our life can leave us with wonder, especially if we think we're extra special and his plan involves us being famous or important. But very often we forget that we have an enemy. We forget that he's powerful, organized, and he hates us. He's well armed with weapons of destruction and temptation and doubt. He's shooting his arrows at us every day, every hour. If you've read or seen The Lord of the Rings, you know of those massive armies of Uruk-hai and orcs wanting to storm Helm's Deep and Gondor. These are the armies seeking to destroy us, destroy the Church of God. How will we respond? How will we defend ourselves? What can we do? We should know his plans, his strategies, his power. And we should especially know and remember how Christ has defeated him and gives us the power to stand firm against his schemes. And that's our main point this morning. Paul urges us, stand firm against Satan's schemes. Let's turn to verses 10 to 12, where we find our first heading, our enemy. And let's look at how our enemy is described here. He's a schemer, verse 11. Our enemy isn't flesh and blood, but the rulers, authorities, cosmic powers over this present darkness, the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places, verse 12. We don't know exactly how to define those descriptions. How is ruler different to authority or cosmic power? It's hard to be sure, but we can be sure that the devil and his demons are powerful. They have real power. Last year, my family went to the circus. It was amazing, sitting in the big top, watching the acrobats, the animals doing tricks, watching the funny clowns. But there was also a magician. He'd do these interesting tricks, but he was at the back of the stage, pretty far away from the audience. There was no way of seeing any little clues about how he was doing it, what the trick was. But the devil's not a magician at a circus, pretending to cut people in half and plucking rabbits out of empty hats. The devil, Satan, has real power over people. Paul says in chapter 2 that before our salvation, we were following him, willing slaves to whatever evil he suggested to us. He's powerful and he's wicked. These are the spiritual forces of evil. And he's scheming. He's got a plan. And what's that? Well, Paul's eager for us in verse 11 to stand against his schemes, and so clearly his scheme and plan for us is that we would fall. And why does Paul bring this up now, at the end of the letter? Finally, he says in verse 10. Why does he feel the need to bring this up now? How is it relevant to what he's already said? Well, we've seen God's plan for us throughout the rest of this letter. If we're in Christ, it's because he loved us, predestined to adopt us. He saved us completely by his grace, not by works, all by the blood of his Son. We were dead spiritually, but he's brought us to life, rescuing us from our enslaver. And he saved us to be part of his people, with believing Jew and Gentile joined as one united people, with the same covenants and promises, part of the same nation. This is the mystery now revealed. And because we're his people, we're to live in a new way. We're to really be united, serving together, loving one another. We're to be throwing off the old self, casting off sin, with reconciled and harmonious relationships. And now we're at the end of the letter. And what does the devil want to do? He wants to upset it all. Like Jesus caused chaos in the corrupted temple, the devil wants to create chaos in the true temple, God's people. God saved all of us who've trusted in Christ. So the devil wants us to fall away. He and his army were defeated at the cross and resurrection, and he's enraged. So his big plan for your life is to get you to deny Jesus. He'd love to get you out of the church, but he's content to let you sit there if you won't listen. He's rubbing his hands if you go to church or if you listen to a sermon on the radio, and if you think you're religious and safe, but you don't actually believe. You gave up on this stuff years ago if you ever believed it at all. The devil wants you thinking you're safe when you're not. His goal is to get you to turn away from Jesus. And his strategies are endless. He attacks through suffering, making you doubt God's love. And he attacks through pleasure and fun, stealing you away from gathering with the church or focusing your attention on those things so that you're not concentrating when you are at church. The devil wants you to fall. He wants you to give up on Jesus, to experience the horrors of hell where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. This is our enemy, and Paul wants us to stand firm against Satan's schemes. How? Let's turn to verses 13 to 17 and see our armour, our second heading. Verse 13, "Therefore, take up the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Again, Paul's urging us to stand firm against Satan's schemes. And he points us to the armour God's provided. First, in verse 14, we have the belt of truth. Remember, in ancient Rome, everyone wore robes. In battle, they needed to be folded up into their belt. And our belt is truth. If we want to be able to join the battle, to move in the battle and not be sitting ducks for the flaming arrows coming our way, we need truth. We need to know the truth of God's word and be truthful ourselves. Remember, the devil wants us to fall, and he wants to ruin the unity of God's church. What better way to ruin the church than to make it full of deceit, so people are hurt and betrayed and unwilling to forgive? We need truth. We need the breastplate of righteousness. One of Satan's attacks is guilt and accusation over sin. He'll tempt us to sin, making it as attractive as possible, and then when we give in, he turns and accuses. "You call yourself a Christian? How could a Christian do something like that? And you keep falling for that sin. You're guilty." That's why we need the breastplate of righteousness. When we place our trust in Christ, all our sins are forgiven. They've already been punished at the cross. And now we have Christ's righteousness as our breastplate, protecting us from the attacks of the evil one. He says we're sinful and deserve judgment. Christ's righteousness, our justification, is our protection. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. Next, we have the shoes of the gospel. As we go out and proclaim that gospel of salvation to others, as we proclaim the gospel to others, to fellow Christians or not, it's going deeper into our own hearts, helping us personally stand firm against the devil's schemes, and it helps the church as they hear that gospel to stand firm with us. The shield of faith becomes our defense against the darts of Satan's accusations of indifference to the gospel, of suffering, doubts, temptations, all these arrows. When we hide ourselves under that shield, trusting his promises, we're safe. The helmet of salvation, that assurance that we are truly loved by God, adopted as his children, saved by him, raised to new life. This is the last defensive piece of armor Paul mentions in our battle against Satan. But then we have the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, our one offensive weapon in the battle. Like Jesus wielded that sword in his temptation in the wilderness, so should we. How good are you at swinging that sword? Do you know God's word? Do you know what Romans is about? Hebrews? Genesis? Are those truths deep inside you, a defense against attack? Have you put on this armor? It's no good hearing about the armor but not putting it on. If you're hearing this, but you're not convinced you're a Christian, you need to do business with God. You need to pick up that shield and place your faith in Jesus. Only with his righteousness will you be safe. Otherwise, you're a slave to the evil one, doing his bidding. You're a casualty of war on the losing side. Place your trust in Christ and stand firm against the devil's schemes. He was defeated at the cross and resurrection. Don't let him drag you down to hell with him. Don't die in your sin like he wants you to. Be saved. Stand in the armor God provides. And now we turn to our third heading. We've seen our enemy and our armor. Now we see our prayers in verses 18 to 20. While we wear our armor, we're to be in constant communication with our commanding officer, the king himself. Verse 18, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. Now, prayer in the Spirit isn't praying in tongues. It's praying in line with the Spirit, his priorities. It's praying in line with the Word, which is his sword, inspired by him, the truth he's revealed. We're to pray prayers like Paul did in this letter, for love, knowledge of God, understanding of the inheritance he has for us. We're to pray for protection against the evil one. We're to pray for godliness, unity, peace. He says at the end of verse 18 to make supplication for all the saints. Again, in our prayers, we're to reflect that we're united as one body, one nation. We're an army, and as Satan attacks, we're not supposed to only be concerned about ourselves, but each other. You've no doubt heard the saying, leave no man behind. Maybe you've seen those movies where the soldiers go to every effort to rescue their man trapped behind enemy lines. They won't leave him to be captured, tortured, or killed by the enemy. Instead, they make every effort, even sacrificing their own lives, for the sake of their fellow soldier. We're not called to do anything quite so terrifying, but we are called to pray for our fellow soldiers. Have you been in prayer for the church during our time of separation? Not just for health, though that's important, but are you praying for their spiritual lives? For their strength against temptation, doubts, fears, despair? Have you been praying for their protection against the evil one, that they'd stand, taking up the whole armor of God, living like those who are redeemed and holy? Paul asks for prayer for himself, that he'd preach boldly. He's an ambassador. Normally, ambassadors get the royal treatment, respect, parties. Well, Paul got the treatment his own king received. And he asks for prayer. You'd think if anyone didn't need it, it's Paul. But he is very aware of his weaknesses, his temptation to be quiet now he's been imprisoned in Rome. Are you praying for our mission partners? Are you joining with them in their battle, wherever they are around the world? For the boy's family serving in Southeast Asia, those stuck in England right now. For the halls in Uganda. For the Middle East Reformed Fellowship. For the Bendigo Christian Union. Are you praying, joining with them in the battle against the evil one, praying they'd stand firm against his schemes? Ephesians is a glorious picture of the church. In it we read of our salvation and of our glorious calling to be a united, holy and loving people. And in this last section, Paul is warning us not to take it for granted. We have an enemy planning our downfall, and so we should know our enemy and be aware of his schemes. We should put on our armour and stand firm while we pray for ourselves and each other and all those on the front lines of the battle, for those declaring his gospel in mission. But we also have some last words of encouragement. In his final greetings, verses 21 to 24, we see a picture of a church united in love, not only for themselves, but for Paul. And so Paul sends to them Tychicus to bring them news and encourage them. And he blesses them, desiring them to know the peace of God, to know his love, his grace, not to be overwhelmed by the schemes of the evil one, but to know that God is for them. He's saved them, made them to be at peace with him, though once they were his enemies. And so, as we finish our time in Ephesians, I wish and pray the same for you. May you truly know the peace of God, which he purchased for you by the blood of his Son. May you be grounded in his grace, rejoicing in your inheritance which is to come, standing firm against Satan's schemes. And above all, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. God of the hosts of heaven, we worship you that at the cross and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, you defeated the evil one. He is defeated, and no more can he accuse your beloved children before your throne, because all our sin has been punished in Christ. We who believe now stand in the righteousness of Christ, justified, declared righteous in your sight. But now we face an enemy who knows he is defeated and wants to cause as much damage as possible. He is at our gates, eager to steal, kill, and destroy. Help us to be strengthened in your might. Help us to put on the armour you provide. And may those listening, even now, who do not know you, place their trust in Christ. May they no longer be enslaved to the evil one, but find everlasting life in Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm Jesse Wolls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church. I pray you've been blessed as you've spent this time in God's Word. This Thursday at 7:45 p.m, you can join me online, where I'll be running Christianity Explored. Christianity Explored is a 7-week course, completely free, which answers the big questions about Christianity by looking at Jesus, his life, his teaching, his death, and resurrection. That's going to be on Zoom. If you're interested in Christianity Explored, or you have a question or you're looking for a church, then please get in contact with us. Our website is eaglehawkpc.org.au. God bless you.